Good morning, Church of South Lake. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. Merry Christmas to you. Oh, wow. 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 That's good. How many of you were Christmas shopping yesterday? Bless your heart. Does Amazon count? I love that voice. Who said that right there? Yes. Yes, we were walking around stores. Actually, we walked out of a store, and my wife was like, well, Hunter is my son. She's like, Hunter wants this, this, and this. I stopped on the sidewalk, and I went, it'll be there on the 20th. It'll be at the house. And I'm thinking, why are we standing here? Like, I'm doing it. Oh, it was great yesterday. I saw some friends from church. You may be here this morning. I'm not sure in the next service or this service, but saw you at lunch. And guys, I was like, I'm your pastor. I'm like one of the pastors in your church, and I don't like to shop. So would you do this for me? Like, I don't ask you to do a lot for me, but would you do this? If I give you this list, would you just go shop? Like, would you go do that? And here's the thing. Every third purchase, you can buy something for yourself. Did not want to do it at all. That's all right. One of my favorite jokes about Christmas is my favorite Christmas lights are the tail lights of people leaving my house. I don't know, man. I use that joke every Christmas, and it's always funny to me because I had a pastor friend of mine that always used that joke, and I was like, you use it all the time, but it always makes me laugh. Christmas. Love this time of year. And not love this time of year at the same time. I'm going to throw a slide up on the screen here in just a moment. Actually, we're going to throw it up really quickly right now. It's going to say this. It's going to say, the first Christmas was the most disruptive event in human history. You ever felt like Christmas was disruptive? That there's something that is disrupted, you know? Disruption, actually, there's a definition for disruption. A disruption is an event or a process, something that's been interrupted. And Christmas is the biggest disruption in the history of humanity. I don't know if you've been disrupted yourself. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a grocery store that you go to all the time, and maybe you walk in one day and things have been rearranged? They do that on purpose because they want to disrupt you from the pattern that you normally have and to make you think of other things. A disruption is actually a fairly common buzzword in business right now because you have industries that have been completely disrupted. For example, the largest taxi cab company in the world doesn't own any taxi cabs. It's called Uber, and they've disrupted an industry. The largest hotel chain in the world doesn't actually own any hotels. It's called Airbnb, and they've disrupted an entire industry. Have you ever been disrupted? You know, sometimes when we think about our personal lives, maybe a process or event that you and I are going through is just living our life, and life is disrupted. You know that it would be one phone call or one text message, and your life could be forever changed from this point on. Have you ever been disrupted? Did you get a note or a phone call that said that a loved one passed away? Life was disrupted. Maybe you were diagnosed with cancer. Life was disrupted. Maybe you received a note from your spouse that said that they want a divorce, and your life was disrupted. Disruption can be positive as well. Guys, do you remember the first time you saw her face? When I saw your face. It's her face, not your face. When I saw her face. I'm not going to sing it for you. But that was a good disruption, right? Say yes. Yeah, you better say that, especially if you're sitting next to her. And then when you got down on one knee, life was disrupted because you said, would you marry me? And then do you remember the day that your spouse, that your wife came to you and said, baby, we are going to have a child. And you're like, life is definitely disrupted. But you know that it's a good thing. Maybe a good disruption was the day that you retired. It was a good thing. So life can be disruptive. We can all agree on that. Let's just do that very quickly. Have you ever been disrupted, positive or negative? You can raise your hand. That should be everybody. Now, here's the thing. You and I can respond to those disruptions in one of two ways. We can respond out of faith, or we can respond out of fear. We can respond out of faith or respond out of fear. And so we're going through this Christmas series, and we're calling it Responding to Christmas. And so this morning, I want to just bring our attention to a couple of characters that are very, very familiar to the Christmas story. One of them is Joseph, and the other one is Mary. And as I said earlier, Christmas, the very first Christmas, was the greatest disruption in human history. And it's a disruption that you and I have to deal with and come to grips with even today. But there are some elements I believe we can learn about disruption in our life. We can learn from these two individuals and how they responded to a disruptive moment. See, I really believe that every person listening to this message, every person that will follow this message on Facebook later, every person that will hear this podcast, every person that will hear this message today and in the future, we all have an opportunity to respond in faith or in fear. But here's the thing. There's something that stops that, and what stops it is this unknown. We just don't know what this disruption's going to bring, and it's fearful when we look at it. And maybe you see it coming, or maybe it comes upon you suddenly, but it's still this unknown element to it. And because it is unknown, we're also asking questions deep inside of us. Does God know? Does God know that this is happening to me? Does God know that my spouse wants a divorce? Does God know that I've lost my job? Does God know that 2018 is coming and all of this stuff is coming down on me? Does God know? And even bigger than that, you're asking the question, does God care? And then, can he even do anything about it? And so when we face disruptions, when we think about responding to Christmas, I want us to just think about this piece of history, this story of Joseph and Mary. So Joseph is engaged to be married to Mary. And he's looking forward to this day that they can be husband and wife. And Mary is looking forward to this day when they can be one. And then they get this news. Joseph gets this news that his wife is actually pregnant with child and he's not the father. And immediately, he's got to make a decision. And guys, I don't know if this would be a disruption in your book, but I think it's a disruption in my book. Like, this would be a disruptive moment. And so he has to make a decision. What is he going to do? And so he quietly decides to divorce her. He quietly decides that he is going to separate from her, even though they're all, both of them are wanting a home, they're wanting a family, they're wanting a legacy, but this is just too scandalous and too disruptive to start his life this way. And so we learn in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph has a dream, and in this dream, this angel appears to him and says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And right there, in black and white, we have this phrase, do not fear. Do not fear. You see, everywhere in the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books of the Bible that are in what we call the New Testament. Everywhere we see Jesus interacting with people, even from the point of even before his birth, and definitely all the way through death and resurrection, we see Jesus acting like he's almost like a billiard ball, like a ball on a pool table that when you hit the cue ball and it smashes into the other ones, Jesus disrupts patterns. Jesus moves people. Jesus, every time he comes into contact, people are really polarized against him. We see this playing out, not just from the birth. Well, from the birth, we've talked about, you know, the fact that the king wanted to kill Jesus and went through great strides to do that. And we see all of this disruption. And everywhere Jesus goes, he becomes a very polarizing figure. You know, some people want to fall down and worship him, and others want to tackle him and throw him off of a cliff, and eventually they murder him. And why was Jesus so disruptive? I believe it's found in this part of the verse in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. He says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And why is Jesus so disruptive? Because if what Jesus claimed about himself was true, and if what was written about Jesus was true, then you and I cannot ignore that. Like, we cannot intellectually ignore what was said about Jesus and what Jesus did. We could never ignore that. Either it is true about him, either he is God who has come to live with us, or he is not. And if he is not, we should run away from him. But if it is true about him, we should center everything about our life around what he has done and what he has said. Either he is absolutely crazy, or he is infinitely wonderful, but he is not neutral. And you and I cannot be neutral when it comes to Jesus if we're actually honest with ourselves. And so everywhere Jesus comes into contact with people, he brings this disruption, and people have to respond. And when you and I think about disruption in our lives, what I want us to think about is, how do we respond out of faith and not out of fear? How do we respond out of faith? I'm going to give you two big ideas, and you could write these down and think about and ponder them later. But the first one is this: faith is persuasion in the promise of God. Faith is persuasion in the promise of God. You see, Joseph and Mary would have been very familiar with what are called the messianic promises, the promises that there's going to be a Messiah that is coming, that there's going to be one to come to rescue, there's going to be one that is coming. They believed that and knew that to be true, even though they have gone through countless years of silence from God. There's been no prophecies. There's been very, very silent, much turmoil in their country. And now they're an occupied nation. And they're living in this moment, but they're believing that there's going to be a promise that is going to be fulfilled. And that promise is the Messiah that is coming. And so be persuaded in the promises of God. I'm sure that Joseph would have been familiar with passages such as Numbers chapter 23, talking about how God keeps his promises. 23 verse 19, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? He would be familiar with promises or descriptions of his promises, like 1 Samuel 15:29, and also, the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret. See, when life is disrupted, you can choose to live in fear or in faith, but nobody wants to live in fear. Nobody wants to live in fear. And so I would say, to just encourage you by way of looking at Joseph and Mary's story, to be persuaded in the promises of God, that trust in the fact that God loves you, a promise that we see in the New Testament that he loves you. And we see throughout the Old Testament as well, that there's a strong, deep love for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And the idea of the love of God reminds me of the second part of this: resting or trusting in his promise, or responding in faith, is the fact that faith is confidence in the character of God. So let's respond in faith by believing the promises of God, and let's respond in faith by trusting in the character of God. So the character of God is love. We learn in James that God is love. And, you know, when you were in math class and you were given a formula, and the word "is" always meant what? Equals. And so when James says God is love, God equals love. And it's not that love defines God in the way that we define love, but it is that God defines love. And so we can trust in the characteristics of God, knowing that he is love, and his love will never leave you. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, you are in such a good place, resting in the love of God. God is peace, and he brings peace into those moments. The characteristics of God are amazing. And for example, I would just encourage you to think about the idea of God is independent. God is independent. That means that God does not depend on you or any part of creation. God is not dependent. He is not like an eighth grade boy sitting in the corner hoping that he can find a date. He's not at a dance hoping that he could have a partner to dance with. He is not dependent on you or I for his existence. But we see throughout the scriptures that although he's not dependent on us, he finds joy in us. We bring him joy. Just think about how amazing that is. I'm reminded of a verse of scripture that'll be on the screen from Isaiah chapter 62. It says this, "And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." You see, he is independent, which should bring us confidence to respond in faith, because nothing is catching him by surprise and he's not dependent on anything else. But we should also find much joy in the fact that we can live a life that is joyful to him. So walk in faith and not fear, knowing that God is not dependent on anything, but at the same time, he loves you. Another aspect of his characteristics that I think would be helpful for us in the midst of disruption or turmoil is the fact that God is unchanging. A theological term for that is immutability, that he does not change. Although everything around us changes, he doesn't change. I'm reminded of verses of scripture like Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." You see, all of these things would be true, that Joseph and Mary would know to be true, because in their culture and in their upbringing, they would have been just drilled in and in and in. They would be so familiar with the truths of who God is. It would do us well in the midst of disruption, responding to Christmas, responding to things that are disruptive in our lives, to remember the characteristics and the promises of who God is. God is unchanging. You see, we are always growing. We are always moving. We're moving forward and we're moving backwards. We're decreasing and we're becoming. But God is always stable. We are becoming, but he is being. He is solid. He doesn't change. You and I change at the breath of the wind. You and I will change so quickly. Some of you have already changed. You came in here this morning thinking you love church, and now you're like, not so much anymore. You've already become something else. Maybe you came in, you're like, I'm not so sure about this Jesus thing. But now maybe you're looking and saying, you know, that's the smartest guy I've ever heard in my life standing up there. Just totally. Where is that coming from? Oh my goodness. It's coming from the heart of pride. That's where that comes from. You see, we change, but he doesn't change. And that's why he is often referred to as a rock. And so I don't know what disruption has come or is coming into your life. But I know that if you will remember these things, you will do well. There's a story of Jesus when he was with his disciples, his first followers, and they got in a boat, and Jesus told them, let's go across the sea, this giant lake. Let's go across this lake. And Jesus went up to the bow of the boat and took a nap, and then a storm blew up, and the disciples are being tossed left and right, both physically and mentally, and they're crying out to Jesus, and Jesus is kind of rolls over and sits up and looks at them and says, "Peace, be still." And the waves are calm, and their hearts are calm as well. And that's the characteristic of God. In the disruptive moments of our lives, let us remember to hold on to the promises, to be persuaded by those promises, and to be convinced of his character. He is a good, loving God. And nothing will come against us. Nothing that will come against us that is outside of his control. Nothing will come against us that is outside of who he is. Nothing catches him by surprise. So faith is confidence in the character of God. The character of his love, the character of his peace, the character of the fact that he is independent, the character of the fact that he is unchanging. And so let's build upon that short little definition there of faith is confidence. Let's make it a little bit more elaborate. Faith is confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand, but whose heart you can trust. In that moment, Joseph had to make a decision. Will I divorce her or will I marry her? And Joseph's decision was built around the fact that he knew the character of God. The character of God. And he knew the promises of God. He could believe those. But I think there's another aspect to us, to you and I, and to Joseph, and to Mary, and how they responded out of faith. I think there's another aspect that we would do well to remember, and it's to look at the actual name that was given for Jesus. We see it in Matthew. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There are three truths you can learn about that name, Emmanuel. First, the idea that he is human. He is God, and he is with us. Three ideas. He is human, talking about Jesus. He is God, and he is with us. And that, my friends, is the greatest miracle of the entire New Testament, of actually the entire Bible. Is this miracle of what is called the incarnation. The miracle of the fact that God took on human form and came to be with us and began his existence here on earth as a baby, as an infant, and grew and became this amazing sacrifice for us. He is human, he is God, he is with us. That's why in the book of John, John says that God became human and moved into the neighborhood. He lived with us. The incarnation. That's why when I get chili, I want chili con carne, because that is chili with meat. The incarnation means God with meat. God has come to be with us. What does it mean to be with us? It means to be with us in the good and in the bad. It means to be with us in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of peace. It means to be with us in the idea that you and I can have a special relationship with God. God is with us so that you and I can be with him. He came to us because we could not get to him. The Bible teaches us that sin has separated us from the glory of God. That there's no way that you and I can get from here to God. And the Bible teaches us that God actually came to rescue us. And that is the most beautiful and the most amazing miracle of all. You may not believe anything else in the Bible, but if you can come to grips with the fact that God came to rescue us and he came as a baby, like that is the greatest miracle. And all other miracles pale in comparison to that miracle. And so maybe your life is disrupted. I promise you that it will be. Either positive or negative. But either way, you have to respond. And you'll respond out of fear or you'll respond out of faith. And nobody wants to respond out of fear. And maybe even this morning, in this very moment, your life is disrupted because you realize that there's a God that loves you and has come to rescue you. And this morning, you have an opportunity to make a choice out of fear or out of faith. And I would encourage you to choose out of faith, trusting that God loves you and his name is Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for you, that he rose again for you, and that if you put your trust in him, you'll have everlasting life. He loves you that much.
And maybe here in just a moment when we sing our final song and we pray the final prayers and your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you would trust him and believing in him. There are those of us, though, that are here this morning and you need to make a decision. Are you going to continue living life out of fear, or are you going to live life out of faith? And you're looking down the barrel of 2018, it's right around the corner. And you can continue living the way everybody else lives out of fear, and you'll continue to get the same things that you've always gotten. Or you can make a decision today to live out of faith. Christmas was the most disruptive event in the history of the world. And you and I can respond to those disruptions out of faith, when we are persuaded by his promises and convinced of his character. And so this morning, would you be convinced and persuaded by him? We bow our heads and the band's going to come out and we're going to lead us in one final song this morning in time of worship. And right where you're seated, I would ask you to think about these things. I would ask you to think about whether or not you know Jesus as your Savior, because as I said earlier, your life has been disrupted this morning because you realize there's a God that loves you and that you can trust him, put your faith in him. And so I'd encourage you to do so this morning. And maybe there are some of you that you would say, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And yes, there's things that are going on in my life that I just need to trust him and respond in faith. And I would encourage you to just pray right now, asking God to help you respond. Father, this morning we love you. And we believe that you love us, and we know that the promises are true and that your characteristics are true. And so, Father, this morning I pray for the man or the woman or the child that might be here and not know you as Savior, but this morning they would trust you. I pray that you would move in their hearts and that they would respond out of faith to you. I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that say they love you and they're following you, but maybe there's something in their life right now that's just kind of come against them and hit them hard. I pray, Father, that you would give them courage and faith to believe these things we talked about this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time of year as we are continually reminded that you love us and have come to rescue us. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.